Yevamos Perk Yud Mishnah Gimel 10:3. The Mishnah continues on with these kinds of cases, but it's a new case of a woman who's married to Mr. A, and then she thinks he dies, then she gets married to Mr. B. The difference here in our Mishnah, we'll start out by saying the question we're considering now is the question of Yibum. Can she marry anybody she wants, or does she have a Zika connection to her brother-in-law first? Now, recall a couple things. First of all, the way that Yevamos always works is that we look at the moment of death when the husband dies. We kind of take a photograph of the family tree, and based on that photograph, we say, listen, if he had no living descendants, then she falls to Yibum and she has a Zika to her brother-in-laws. And if at that moment he did have living descendants, then she's off the hook and she's free to marry whoever she wants. More than that, remember that in the event that she would marry someone else and then discover that in fact she had a Zika, meaning she had to do Yibum first, so then her crime is a general lav from the Torah. She has a Zika, she's not allowed to marry somebody else till she resolves that Zika with Chalitza or Yibum. In contrast, if she was actually exempt from Yibum, but she erroneously performed Yibum, which means she married, she lives with, she slept with her brother-in-law, so that actually, if that isn't sanctioned because of the mitzvah of Yibum, that becomes an Isser Karis, meaning a penalty, a Doraisa, a penalty that's punishable by Karis, called Eishes Ach. The man married his late brother's wife, which is an Isser Karis, so before. Okay, so that's sort of the backstory here. So now, our mission will consider a few scenarios. We'll just hear this. Here's the gist of how they start. If a man had a living, let's say a son, and the two of them went on vacation and the boat capsizes and they both drown. So the million-dollar question is, who drowned first? If he drowned first, so at the moment he died, so then his son was still alive. And when the son succumbed a minute later, it doesn't matter. At the moment of death, he had a child, and therefore his wife is exempt from Yibum. On the flip side, if the son drowned first and 2 minutes later he drowns, so then, since at the moment of death he had no children that were alive, she, the wife, will be subject to the mitzvah of Yibum. So that being the case, our Mishnah says, Ha'isha shehalach ba'alo v'na l'medina sayam. You have a woman who's married to Mr. A, and Mr. A goes overseas with his son, her son, to the, wherever it is, anywhere, Uva'uva amrula, and then they come, or one witness comes, and they tell her, Meis balech, your husband died, v'achar kach meis benech. And then, after he died, your son died, meaning at the moment of his death, he had a living descendant, his son, and your son, the woman's son. And that being the case, there's no mitzvah of Yibum, so she's free to go and marry whomever she wants. V'nisses, and based on that information, let's say even an Eid Echad, one witness, which, were, like we said before, she's permitted to do, rely on that. So she marries someone else, and then v'achar kach amrula, they tell her after that she's married to Mr. B, chiluf hayo devarim, uh-oh, we mixed things up. It was actually the other way around, meaning that first the child died, and then your husband died, meaning when your husband died, he had no living children, meaning when he died, he left you as a Yevama, who needed to resolve things with his brother, and you didn't, you just married somebody else. So that means she did a lav, she has to then fix up the mess. First of all, Teitze, she has to split from her Mr. B, current husband, and she'll still need to do chalitza with her brother-in-law. Now, according to the Tana here in our Mishnah, we're about to read, this is like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, you recall, we had in previous Prakim, held that any of the Torah's Asurim, or many of the Torah's Asurim, even if they're not punishable by a Kares, still Kedushin Einan Tovsin, if they're incestuous relationships, like someone we're talking over here, where she's not allowed to marry someone else, so she simply can't get married to somebody else, Mr. B, until she resolves her Zika with her brother-in-law. And that being the case, the definition always is a mamzer is the offspring of a union in which Kedushin Einan Tovsin, which you can't, you're not allowed to get married, and if you try, it won't work. And Rabbi Akiva, who our mission is following, holds that would be true in the case of a woman who has a Zika to her brother-in-law and then tries to marry someone else. They can't get married. So in the same way as you can't get married to your mother and your sister, you can't get married to anybody, says Rabbi Akiva, who's got a restriction like this on them. So that being the case, says the Mishnah, paskins, v'havlad rishon v'achron mamzer. Both the first and second child, if you will, are mamzerim, meaning any offspring that she has from this new man, Mr. B, are going to be mamzerim. Rishon means the child that was born, or actually more correctly, the child that was conceived before she learned the facts that her husband died childless, meaning that she had a yibum obligation. And the achron, the second, the latter, means the child that was conceived from Mr. B after she found out the facts. There's no difference, says the Tana here, and we only mention the two possibilities to contrast what will happen later on in the Mishnah. So that's how the Mishnah rules. Now remember, we paskin not Rabbi Akiva. We paskin that only relationships that carry within the penalty of karas are ones in which kedushin ein and tofsin, that you cannot get married. And this is simply just a generic love for a woman who has a zika to her brother-in-law to marry someone else is a generic love. And therefore the halacha is that kedushin is yes tofsin. You could get married. She could get married and she would be married. And therefore the get she would require would be a doraisa get, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, which is just the rabbanan in nature. And more than that, the child would not be a mamzer. So neither the rishon or achron, no matter what, there's no mamzer here at all. That would be the halacha. Although there are some nosei kelim will hold that there will be a mamzeres medrabanan, but that's a slight point. Okay, now, case number B of the Mishnah. Amru la meis b'neich, v'achar kach meis b'alech. First they come to tell her, your husband, who went overseas with his only child, so they both drowned, but the report is that your child drowned first and then your husband. So when he died, he had no living descendants. Therefore, you have a zika to your brother-in-law. And there she went, v'nis yabma, and they're like a dutiful wife. She goes and she marries her brother-in-law, doing yibum. V'achar kach, and after they're married, or they slept together even one time, the truth is, whatever, yibum, so they'll call it married. V'achar kach amrula, after that, they come and tell her, chilufayo devarim, oops, we got it mixed up, it's the other way around, meaning that first the husband, your husband died, and then his child died, meaning he wasn't childless at his death, and therefore you're not chayav in yibum, and therefore your marriage to your brother-in-law is illegal, actually illegal under the penalty of karis, because it's eishes ach, which is bad news. So the din will be, first of all, teitze, of course she has to separate from her new brother-in-law husband, and v'havlad rishon v'achron mamzer, and any offspring that came from that relationship, whether before or after she discovered that it was illegal, all those offspring will be mamzerim, because this is a relationship which is a chiyav karas, marrying your brother-in-law, not in the context of a mitzvah of yibum, and even not just the Rabbi Akiva, but even the Chacham will agree to that, everyone agrees to that, that the children are mamzerim. Now, on these first two cases, you have to ask yourself the same question for both of them, and really it'll be true for the subsequent questions as well, which is, why are we believing the second witnesses more than the first witnesses? If you have two witnesses that are contradicting each other, so who said that the fact is that, you know, who says the fact is the child died before or after the husband? How do you know? So it has to be one of two cases. Either the case is that our Mishnah is kind of using that same phrase, that they ba'uva amru, like we did in Mishnah Aleph, means a single witness came and told her. And therefore, if one witness said that gave the order initially of who died first, and then a second pair of witnesses come and say it was the other way around, so the second pair of witnesses, of course, is believed because there are a pair of witnesses, they're believed over a single witness. So that would answer the question. The second possibility would be that you have two pairs of witnesses, each with two pairs of two witnesses, but the second pair doesn't just makhish, doesn't just repudiate and, you know, contradict the first set of testimony, but more than that, they do hazama. The hazama is they impugn the first set of witnesses. They say the first set of witnesses are a bunch of fakers and phonies, and they couldn't be telling the truth because they weren't even at the scene of the event. We were there when the boat sank, and those two jokers were locked in the same hole as them. Through our window, we could see who drowned, but they were locked in their bedroom, and they couldn't have been there to see anything. So they're liars. They're liars about what they saw. They couldn't have seen anything at all. So now, since the second pair of witnesses isn't just giving a contradictory testimony from the first pair, but actually impugning, repudiating, and like, you know, impugning? Like they're saying this first group of witnesses themselves are illegitimate, attacking them directly, not just their testimony. So therefore, we believe the second one's over the first, and therefore the consequences are as the Mishnah set out. Okay, now there's still two more cases to go. Case number C in the Mishnah is Amrullah Meiz Balech. They come and tell her that your husband died. But this case is not a case of Yibum. It's simply that she believes them, that the husband's dead. And then the Niseis, she gets married. Va'achkach Amrullah Kayim Haya V'meis. No, they say that's not what happened exactly. We were mixed up. You were married to your husband, Mr. A, actually didn't die back then, but he's dead now. But the problem is, she married Mr. B, thinking her husband was dead. She's still married to Mr. B. Now her husband is dead. But since the marriage, the would-be marriage, occurred when the husband A was still alive, that marriage isn't binding, and she was an Ashes Ish. So that being the case, we say Tate, first of all, she can't stay with Mr. B, since she was like effectively, unwittingly had an affair with him when she was still married to Mr. A, so they get separated. But Vahavlad Rishon Mamzer, Vahachron Eno Mamzer. We differentiate now between two sets of children. The children who were conceived prior to her husband dying, meaning here Rishon means before the husband died, not before the new set of witnesses. The witnesses, so here, the first child that was conceived when she was still married to Mr. A is a child that's born from an illicit Ashes-ish, you know, married woman Zunus union. And that being the case, that child is textbook Mamzer. Right? Their relationship is totally forbidden. Under penalty of Karas, she's an Ashes Ish, sleep with another man, and therefore the child's a Mamzer. However, if the child was conceived after her first husband died, so then now she's just a widow. And for a widow to have a relationship with another man, even if they're not married, that may not be nice, but it certainly doesn't create Mamzerim. That's why the word Mamzer is hard to translate in English, because it doesn't mean a child born from like out of wedlock, like a bastard or something, or illegitimate. It means a specific category of child who was born from a union, which is, you know, Kedushin Ein Tov Samba, that's a Chiyuv Karas type or whatever, a prohibited relationship, severely prohibited, and that's like not the case when it's just a woman who's a widow, or for that matter, never married, who, you know, like a teenage pregnancy or something, that's not the same. It doesn't produce Mamzerim, so that's what we're saying, the Achron Eino Mamzer. The fourth case of our Mishnah is Amrullah Meis Balech. They tell her, listen, your husband died. And based on that information, Vinis Kadsha, she now goes and gets, I'll call it engaged, being Kedushin, she accepts a ring, if you will, from another man. So our Mishnah is going to end on a happier note instead of all these tragic scenarios that have up to now, which is, since she only accepted Kedushin, so they're like, okay, they were, truth is, they're like, I'll call it married, right? I said engaged before, it's tough to translate, but they never lived together as husband and wife, and therefore they never consummated the marriage, and therefore there was never an act of znus there. V'achar kach ba'bala, you know, at the last minute, in walks Mr. A, and he's, you know, and he is her husband, and she never married another man. Okay, she accepted a ring from another man, thinking it would be Kedushin, but she couldn't. Kedushin ain't a Tolstoy, but she's a married woman. You can't marry a married woman. Someone else can't marry her. So that being the case, so the ring giving and accepting was like actually meaningless. Nothing, just a ring, with nothing binding. It wasn't really Kedushin. And therefore, Muteris Lachsorlo, she's permitted to go back to her original husband because she never was married to anybody else. It was just a big, you know, a mistake, a farce, which is great. That would be true even if Mr. B, after giving her the ring, doing Kedushin, he gave her a get. You'll recall that Kedushin really is the first step of marriage, and to sever a Kedushin bond requires a get proper, a regular get. So let's say the second guy gave her a get. So now she really like kind of looks and feels like a divorced woman who's married somebody else. And normally if a woman is married to Mr. A, and then she goes, after that marriage is dissolved, she marries Mr. B, and then Mr. B dissolves the marriage, meaning, you know, by whatever it is, death or divorce, she can't go back to Mr. A anymore, ever again. Once she's been married to somebody else, she can't go back to her original husband. It kind of looks like that over here, but nevertheless, we say the whole giving of the ring and the subsequent get are all a big farce, because she was married anyway, so they mean nothing. And that being the case, lo psala mina kahuna, she's welcome not only to go back to her original husband, like we said before, but actually she's not considered even to be like some sort of like divorcee midrabanan. So meaning, if her husband were a Kohen, she could remarry him. But even if her husband wasn't a Kohen, so after the husband dies and she's a widow, we could consider her just a widow. We don't say she's a widow and a divorcee. We ignore the fact that she got a get from the second guy because it was a joke, meaning she could now marry Mr. C, even if he's a Kohen. Ezu darsh Rabbi Elazar ben Masya. The basis for this is actually a drasha that Elazar ben Masya made, because the pasuk says, talking about a Kohen and the prohibition of him marrying a divorcee, it says, V'isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu, a woman who was divorced from her husband, he, the Kohen, may not take as a wife. That's a lot of words. I mean, it could have just said a divorcee. Why is it a woman who's divorced from her husband? So the drasha is, and this is what the Mishnah says here, V'lo me'isha eno isha, accepting a would-be divorced from a man who actually wasn't her husband, is ineffectual and doesn't make her restricted from marrying a Kohen. So therefore we say that this woman is totally permitted to marry a Kohen in the event it later becomes relevant.